Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine, December 3rd, 2020. The Christmas season has begun, so I've included just a quick section for Christmas. Let's dive in. Last year, I got a great question about gift ideas for Christmas. So we republished it, but updated it for 2020. You can find it published on the homepage. Cash and precious metals, no questions this week. COVID-19. Someone sent in, Kevin Colley is a legislator in California, has been doing a great litigation against the governor and just prepared a healthy communities resolution. Somebody sent it in and I published it in the show notes. It's a great idea. The more we can use local ordinances to stop a lot of this foolishness, the better. One of the reasons that Pete Kennedy for the food series did a wonderful Solari report on local ordinances that Maine did in to stop or to protect the farmers. It's a long one, it's very detailed, and it's we made it public so that everybody could use it as part of their ideas for take action. Okay, questions on COVID-19. Is the COVID test the vaccination? This info would appear to support this claim. And several links set in. I don't know the answer, but something very unusual is happening with the test. The test is clearly not a test. And the issue is it being used as the test because it's so good at creating false positives? Or is it a way of collecting and mapping DNA? Or because there's this, many of the tests push all the way up the nasal cavity, are they trying to put something near the brain barrier? And this would relate to the nanoparticles that you describe. And my answer is, I don't know, but absolutely that is very possible. A lot of what we're dealing with is the fact that the invisible technology, including neuroweapons, have developed way past most people's ability to conceive of them. If you haven't watched the videos that I put up on, I think it's Dr. Giordano talking about neuroweaponry. It's very useful to understanding how out of control this technology is. Then somebody writes in, my nephew had a cough and his work sent him for a test and he tested positive. Again, this is totally meaningless. Is there something to listen to or read on the site about how to boost your system to help him through this? His symptoms are not different than the common cold. So I put several ideas in the notes. First of all, I found two of the best websites for information on any aspect of COVID-19 or Swiss Policy Research. I don't know if they have anything on treatments, but I would check that. And then I would definitely look at Mercola. Mercola has very good information on all aspects, including therapies. The telemed link on Jerome Corsi's website connects with doctors who can advise on the hydroxychloroquine solutions, hydroxychloroquine, and Dietrich Klinghardt just did a video on COVID-19 and health, and I think Klinghardt is one of the absolute best sources on anything to do with health, and I recommend that. He also has clinics, and so you might check out his clinics as well. One correspondent is a member of Peak Prosperity, and Chris over at Peak Prosperity is very interested in health issues, given his background. So he listed the treatments they find work well. He said one is the hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic, but this includes taking it with zinc and one other thing. Then there's another one that appears to be working for the middle stages. My understanding is hydroxychloroquine is really good at early intervention or, you know, just to prevent. And then he mentions high-dose, instant-acting vitamin D, especially for elderly, avoids the ICU. Anyway, I take a look at the things, and if you're interested, you might want to check in and see what you can find at Peak Prosperity's forums. Those between Mercola, Klinghardt, the telemed doctors, and Peak Prosperity, I think you can find a wealth of information. My personal experience is the thing that most bolsters my immune system coming into any kind of stress is megadosing on C and D. I've got a protocol to megadose on them, and that helps enormously. Take a look at those. Then one person writes in addition to the damage to the business, a positive test enables the employee to qualify for the withdrawal of up to $100,000 from their 401k is penalty-free, courtesy of the CARES Act. I assure you, it's not worth taking the test. Do not take the test. Do not take the test. Do not get tested. I'm wondering how much financial damage is being inflicted on retirement savings because of this new access to it. I have to think that a fair percentage of the population that opts to this program will not redeposit in the future. Could this be another aspect of the strategy to mark down the living standard of the population? Even if you're not going to spend the $100,000, if you can get it out tax-free anytime you can do that, I would absolutely do that. Well, absolutely, this is hurting the financial situation of the population, because what you're doing is you're causing something to happen that stops their income or drops their income or raises their expenses, and then you squeeze them by having them sell off their assets. So it's all part of getting people financially dependent. Then a wonderful subscriber sent in a question about two properties and whether they're in opportunity zones. What you need to do, HUD has the definitive website on opportunity zones. And I strongly suggest this, you do it yourself. One, you need to learn how to do this. Because if you do have a property in opportunity zone, I think you want to watch the action. Not only that, more zones are going to be called, or I think will be added to the list. So you want to be able to use the website. If you go to the HUD website, they have a link to the opportunity zone, a mapping program that shows all the opportunity zones. And the reason you need to look at this yourself, in addition to learning how to do it, is you need to see what's around and where the opportunity zone is. It's going to show you a lot of things. You absolutely want to know the 411 on opportunity zones where you own property. Anyway, so go to the HUD website, use their mapping program. A lot of the states also have mapping programs. So here you've got properties in New York and Pennsylvania. I'm going to take the specific property information out of the notes. Hi, Catherine. I've been a subscriber for just a short time. However, I must say I've learned so much from the Solari Report. You found us through Farrell, and you found Farrell through Daniel. And then you say, I mention this because I've been a fundamentalist, evangelical mindset. My Christian walk in Daniel's show was a bit dangerous for a true believer. As it turned out, I was able to put aside my intolerance and learn a few things. I found that's very important because I've entered into many different cultures or groups or organizations where I had deep prejudices for a variety of reasons, some of which were meritorious and some which turned out to be less meritorious than I thought. And it's really helped me to learn how to shut up and just listen. It's like trolling for truffles, and you discover that the world is much more complicated than you thought, and it's a very humbling process, but I've learned to shut up and listen. You know, I can't tell you how many people I wish who've had dreadful experiences with the church would just sit down and suspend judgment and read the Bible, because the Bible, you know, it is unbelievably informative about what's going on. Even if you don't have a spiritual practice, it's just enormously informative, but also about, you know, sort of how to play to win in this environment. Then let's turn to Going Direct Reset. Somebody sent in a criticism of my review of Schwab's book on the Great Reset. I had said that I'd hoped that Schwab was better than all of this after criticizing him resoundingly. Now, it's interesting. I wrote this before he really had started talking publicly. And since then, he's come out, I don't know how to describe it. He reminds me of Blofeld and Spectre. He's frightening and terrifying. And to say the least, you know, any hopes I had that he was better than that, he's much, much worse. So you're writing this probably after he went full on transhumanist, you know, psychopath publicly. But I disagree with you on this one. And I'll tell you why. You know, it's funny because this is, how can I describe it? This was very much written in the style of the establishment. You deliver breathtaking criticisms, you do it graciously, and then you offer an olive branch to say, I know you can be better than this. And it's a particular style. If you look at now I've read articles about Schwab and the Reset that are just screaming and calling him names. And frankly, they're irrelevant Because if you look at my criticism, I laid out the train tracks by which a good attorney could nail him. What I wrote was far more dangerous and seriously critical in the world of the establishment, or in the world of taking action and getting things done. Whereas, you know, the guys who rant and rave, all they do is help you process your grief. They don't get anything done. So mine is in many respects the most critical of anything I've read, and the most relevant critical of anything I've read. So we have to disagree here, but it's very much style. And, you know, where I come from, ranting and raving like that simply dismisses you. It's not, you're not credible. I can see why what Schwab is doing is absolutely inhuman and infuriating, and I can see why anybody would want to rant and rave at him, because it's very important to make it clear he's not credible. And so if I had written this after he started to really talk a lot publicly, I would have pulled that out, because I think I agree with you. It is important to say the guy's not credible. I really wonder at this point, if you haven't seen The Kingsman, I strongly recommend it, even though, in my opinion, it's a dreadful and very violent movie. But one of the things they show, I forget if it's in the first, maybe in the second, the sequel, is they show world leaders who have little chips in their head, and if they don't do what they're told, they explode. And you watch Schwab and you think, I wonder if he has one of those chips in his head. Okay. According to John Titus Noel, the plenary's main cabinet members, including the Attorney General, enforce foreign legal immunities instead of U.S. law so that a global banking cartel can commit crimes on U.S. soil without restraint. Apparently, the U.S. presidential oath of office should be restated as, quote, I do solemnly swear that I will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the agreement between the Swiss Federation Council and the Bank of International Settlements to determine the bank's status in Switzerland. What gives a global banking cartel the power to supersede the laws of the United States with respect to crimes committed in Brooklyn, New York? It can't be the Swiss Army, can it? I suppose the answer to their is their control of money and credit. It's not the Swiss. If you look at the sort of disaster capitalism and hits that have been run on the Swiss, first by the whatever it is that got them to drop the gold standard in 1996, they had a couple of earthquakes, and I'm wondering if it wasn't weather warfare weapons that were used. That's just total high octane speculation on my part. That's number one. But number two, if you look at what Americans did with sanctions and lawsuits on the Swiss, actually, it started with the fight over the Nazi gold in 1996 and then came into, from the financial crisis on, huge hits and wars and passage of all sorts of rules and regulations that would require Swiss money managers to report all sorts of data, not just about American citizens, but global investors. And I had Swiss money managers who threw my clients out because they didn't want any Americans. So this is not the Swiss. And the question is, who really controls the global banking cartels and where's the muscle behind them? Because I assure you, this comes down to the ability to kill with impunity in the physical world. Now, the Swiss have always had a role in terms of working with the Vatican and managing the Vatican interests. So when you look at the Swiss and these issues, you want to also look at the Vatican and their endowments and, you know, what that all has to do with what's going on in this planet, in the skies and in space and interdimensionally. Catherine, would you translate your statement, further centralized state and local authorities and cash flows relevant to Williams postings? I had said that if the sort of the game, the COVID-19 game, continued to shut down independent businesses, that there would be an effort by the people who print the money, i.e. the central bankers and therefore the Treasury, to further control the assets at the state and local level and the budgets and the cash flows. So state and local governments control enormous pools of money and flows of money, and the banking and investment advisory relations, and also how that money gets directed. So if you look at the pools of debt service reserve funds on all the bonds and school bonds and the particularly the pension funds, where that money gets invested. So if the private equity guys can get all that money to help play their game in disaster capitalism, makes them much more powerful. But you can also see governments saying a lot more about what the budgets can and cannot be, who can go into the market and bond. You know, there's no doubt that the financial side will be used to control, including insisting on different COVID restrictions, which is why I keep saying, if you're going to move to a state in the United States, you need to understand what the financial position is of the jurisdictions you're in, both state and local. And the more financially solvent they are, the more they determine their own destiny. Then somebody sent an article about awards by the CIA big cloud contracts. And they said, is this part of the JEDI contract? It's part of the cloud infrastructure. You've got Microsoft with the JEDI contract at DOD. You've got CIA with Amazon and the 17 intelligence agencies. And then you've got Leidos at the Navy. And so it's all part of that infrastructure. It looks to me like they're putting out contracts to all the losers on JEDI to kind of bring them into the system and or buy them into the system and be able to hook and link up their operations. Remember, what they're going to try and do using the sort of NSA surveillance systems is lob onto all their data as well through this vehicle is what I would expect. Catherine, you are so appreciated. Thank you for all you do. My friends are all benefiting from market conditions, some gaining over 40% with their investments. I've been keeping my money out of the markets for concern that there was fairly huge adjustment coming. I'm wondering if you had any thoughts on how a market crash would happen and probably guesses on when. I'm going to talk a lot more about this in the first quarter, in the annual wrap-up equity overview. But the way to deal with this, in my opinion, because I think we're still in a long-term bull, if you listen to all the equity overviews we've done this year, I go through all of that. I would strongly recommend them as good background to the equity overview we do in the annual wrap-up. But the way to deal this with this, if you want to be in the markets, is, and I'm talking about the equity markets now, is to do hedged. If you have a hedged portfolio, you get the benefit of the dividends and some of the capital gains you have to pay for the hedge. It can be very expensive, but then you are really protected in a big down. You know, I saw hedge portfolios during the big drop this year, and they were up. It doesn't always work perfectly, so you can be down maybe a little, but you avoid those huge downs. Now, the people who don't hedge and live with the wild swings, ultimately over the long run, are much better off. It really comes down to whether it's something you want to do for a period when you run the risk of a big down. And I do think we're still in a long-term bull, but I still think there is definitely risks of big, big downs. Hi, Catherine. I'm passing along this little news tidbit from a file drawer you can mark as irony. Michigan State economist Lisa Cook named to the Biden transition team where she will ensure that banking is done fairly and securely. That's the same MSU economics department that gave us Dr. Mark Skidmore and $21 trillion missing from DOD. It's comforting to know that diversity is alive and well in our universities. I didn't know that. Certainly, Dr. Skidmore hasn't said anything. I will tell you this. There's nothing more painful when you're someone like Dr. Skidmore to see yourself push back and people put forward who help support the secrecy, you know, and sort of promote the official narrative. It's a stomach, gut-wrenching feeling when you watch that happen, and it helps you realize how evil things are. It's not an accident, in fact, that a lot of the Biden team in the economics area are women, and that's because they want a pretty caring, heart chakra kind of face on inequality. America is number one in inequality. The inequality is skyrocketing. It's going to continue to skyrocket if you look at the policies. But they want to put they want everybody who's speaking on behalf of the combined policies to look like your mom. Don't think that isn't a strategy. I'm going to put in the links for Ask Catherine, I'll put our Promoting Women series, and that does a very good job of explaining it. I recommend it to you if you don't understand sort of the politics and optics of all of this. As one Republican operative said to me, you don't give money to the people in Harlem. You just want the white women in Westchester to think you care. You know, Janet Yellen is designed to please the tech guys and the white women in Westchester who want us to care. Catherine, it dawned on me this morning to pull up a story from earlier this year relating to voting machine shenanigans from Venezuela. So there's a long description. So here's the thing. Election fraud has been a major problem in the United States for my entire life, and it's a major problem all over the world because you have the U.S. intelligence agencies running around the world and trying to control all the data, all the information flows, all the digital systems, and rig all the elections. In one of my favorite things from Christopher Simpson, he describes the Dulles brothers sitting at Sullivan Cromwell before the National Security Act has been passed, and they're taking all the Nazi loot in the Exchange Stabilization Fund and using it to rig the Italian and European elections for the Vatican. If you haven't read any really deep, good history of Operation Gladio, it kind of says it all. But this is a very old problem, which is why I said, you know, the big question in 2020 is, what are we going to do about the Beck brothers? Because this is absolutely one of the ways the CIA controls, at this point, everybody. I mean, here's the reality. In 1963, they killed the president. Since then, they've been running the show, and this is how they do it. As I said, the digital systems have zero integrity. How do I donate to Sidney Powell? If I'm mind-controlled for wanting to donate to Sidney Powell, please let me. But at the moment, I really want to donate to her. I think she's doing some really great work on our behalf. I want to make sure that the website I donate to is legit. Does anybody know the proper site to donate to? And the answer is, we have a wonderful subscriber who did. He posted it in subscriber input, and I'll put it in the links. Barr just came out and pulled the rug out from under Giuliani and Powell with his announcement that there was no widespread fraud. In fact, that's technically true. The fraud was not widespread. It was concentrated in six counties and six swing states, which could throw the election. He said it wasn't enough to throw the election. That ain't true. Now, why he did it, I don't know. But whatever reason, I'll talk about it more in Money and Markets. He's pulled the rug out from under, so it's probably a good time to donate. And I just asked our bookkeeper to send a donation this morning. You can also buy Sidney Powell's books. That will help. And, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that her effort is serious. She's a serious person and a serious attorney, and she's up against the establishment. When the establishment wants to roll you, they do, and that's exactly how they do it with Barr. And I suspect the reassignments on the Supreme Court were also set up to make sure that all the conservative judges were the ones that rolled Trump, and, you know, that slams the door forever. That's how the boys in the establishment do it, and I suspect this time it's going to be, I don't know, I remember how it feels, is all I can tell you, and it's a gut-wrenching feeling. Dear Catherine, one more thing I forgot to put in my previous reply. Recommend Dr. Mary's Monkey by Edward Haslam. I have that book, but it's sitting in the den, and I'm going to order another copy so I can read it. But I really appreciate your telling me that. It's from a Trine Day publication, and they just do great work. So I really appreciate your sending that and reminding me of that. Catherine, pardon my delay in writing. During Thursday's discussion with John Titus, I paraphrase an idea you articulated. The move underway to a transhumanist financial system from the current one seems almost an impossible one. One thing appears clear, namely those engineering this demonstrate sophisticated, clever, and surprising skill with each step along the way. I do value your continual assessment of the going on. I respectfully ask you to regularly share practical, simple, and actionable steps we each can take in defense of these moves. I personally find it most challenging in coming up with such steps. There's more later. I go into some steps, but one of the steps, remember, anything you can do to create an independent local food supply, that's so important, because what these guys are going to try and do is control the food and make it increasingly synthetic. Catherine, I would like to share some thoughts on some of the recent events regarding Trump, the military, and a recent fourfold uptick in military aircraft a few days. And then you go into whether or not Operation Warp Speed is in fact a military covert operation. I don't know. I think Operation Warp Speed was really designed to build the infrastructure to deliver, you know, I don't call them vaccines because they're not medicine. I don't know, but if you look at a lot of the military patterns, clearly there are many strange things going on, and it's one of the reasons, I think, between the preparations being put in place with the COVID-19 and the different sort of actions of the military, it all speaks to radical reengineering after the election, no matter who the winning candidate is. Now, if you get the Republicans losing the Senate, then the combination is exceptionally, exceptionally dangerous. I'll talk more about that in Money and Markets, but particularly when I do News Trends and Stories with Joseph. I'm going to record that on January 9th, and it'll publish the following Thursday. Then another question on centralizing state and local authorities and cash flows. Catherine, you recently said that a person in the U.S. should consider leaving if they can. What are the main factors that contributed to that statement? I always wanted to leave the circus behind, but I have trouble convincing my wife. I'm not sure that's what I said. I don't remember saying that. What I've said is if you can have more than one jurisdiction, I think that's a good idea. I've had, over the last 15 years, I've had subscribers and clients who decided to leave the United States, went abroad, and discovered it was far worse, although different, but far worse, and came back. I just know of one person who spent a lot of time and effort trying to establish residency in New Zealand, and then New Zealand on COVID-19, you know, turned out, they elected a new leader, and it turned out so over the top. Whether or not you can afford multiple jurisdictions really comes down to your unique network circumstances and resources. But it's always a risk. And the thing that I would promote more than anything, I keep saying movement is life. So when the litigation ended and I didn't buy a big house, I didn't spend a lot of money on property, I bought the least cost property I could in a very low cost area. And I set it up to be as sort of resilient as possible as a base camp. And then I tried to organize my archives and digital records and life so that if anything, I could be a nomad. So I just felt that in this environment, for someone doing what I do, it was impossible to put down roots. And it was impossible to tell what places, you know, you can guess what places are going to be better than others, but it's always a guess. And, you know, the power is, it's what Brad Pitt said, World War Z, movement is life. Those who live are those who can get up and go if they have to. So I don't see myself as putting down roots. I describe that if you read the introduction to the third quarter wrap-up, which is at freedom.solari.com. I use a quote from the Starbucks character in Battlestar Galactica. She says, out of the box is where I live. It's a whole different way of thinking about your life. Sometimes I'll call somebody and they'll say, where are you? And I answer, I'm still on planet Earth. So I would say downsize, travel light, be prepared to move. But I think multiple jurisdictions is great, but I think it's more important to be in a great place with people you like, and I appreciate how hard it is to determine that. Apparently, the legislature just passed something saying no vaccine mandates in Tennessee. And, you know, as I said before, one of the reasons I chose Tennessee is the Tennessee Firearms Association has, as membership, more than 50% of the regularly voting population by county. It's a very good sign. Food and health. Hello, Catherine. My wife, Lauren, and I joined Solari in 2018, and we eagerly listen to everything you offer. I'm going to read this one because I think this is worth, and I got permission to read it. We own and operate an 83-acre organic tree orchard farm, fruit orchard business. Looks beautiful. The website is fortunatefruit.com. Located in the secluded desert canyon in western Colorado. If you go to their website and then go to their Facebook page, the pictures are just unbelievable. It looks phenomenal. It is incredibly beautiful here and quite remote. We both feel like our relatively small group of friends have dwindled considerably due to the mind control programs taking over our society. Boy, my heart goes out to you. It's a problem we're all dealing with. Among similar lines, our two millennial children are, we always assumed would take over the family farm if moved to Portland, Oregon, and British Columbia. They show signs of accepting the mind control programming and are becoming increasingly critical of our worldview. Most alarming to us is that they do not appear to value the opportunity to take over a multi-million dollar asset that is 100% paid for and consistently generates a six-figure income. That is really frightening. The mind control is so powerful, it's really frightening. You are spot on about the millennials being programmed to accept the destruction of their parents' hard-earned wealth. We are in the process of finding millennial farmers whom do not desire to join the New World Order to fill their shoes for the 2021 farm season. Now, if anybody's listening to this who wants to be a millennial farmer and you're looking for a place to put down roots, here's a great idea. And you say, it's a heartbreaking process for us. If you haven't tried the Woofer program, you really should try it. I'm assuming you have, but there are always people cycling through. Organic fruit farming on this scale can be very challenging, but our most serious direct threat to our business is not pests, weather, or labor. Rather, it is government compliance pressures, particularly food safety regulations, that are designed to encourage aging farmers like ourselves to throw in the towel and sell out to the elites. That is why we support the Weston Price Foundation and the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. This is going to take lawyers and lobbyists. And unless you have armies to protect your assets, they're going to take it away by cuts of a thousand kinds. Please feel free to reach out to us regarding family farming and or organic farming issues. Okay, you're on the list. I really, really appreciate that. On a different note, I've included a link to a recent announcement from our spiritual teacher since 1986, Jonah, on an upcoming class regarding the challenges we are facing in love and light. Wow, what an amazing, amazing thing you guys have done by building this orchard. It reminds me of the quote in the harvest section from the Celtic Daily Prayer Book 1. It says, it's a quote from, I don't know who this is, Columbanus, Columbanus. If you want to know the creator, understand created things. So beautiful. Okay, dear Catherine, thank you for so thoughtfully responding to my inquiry about finding a doctor with integrity. I'll follow the leads you provided, and God willing, we will find the right doctor for our needs. Since last week, I've noticed more than one news article about many doctors closing their practices. Here's one from the New York Times. Yeah, so all of Obamacare and the related controls on information was designed to force everybody into digital and the software system so the tech guys could rake off much more of the profits, and then to force the small practices into retirement or into the big hospitals where government and the software can basically tell them what to do like they're robots, or, you know, basically control. You're trying to put the government and the insurance industry and the tech guys between the doctor and his patients so that you throw out the do no harm. I mean, if you look at the extraordinary healthcare injury and vaccine injury that is destroying American children, that can only happen if the government money and government regulation basically control the healthcare practitioners. And that is exactly what's happening. And then you ask, do you use PGP? I tried several times to use PGP, and it was always a logistical nightmare. It's like many suggestions we get for systems to try this and try that, and you spend a great deal of time and money trying it, and then you run into the same problems of a lot of times it's NSA interference that can stop a solution from working. So I just had a nightmare a couple times with PGP, so I don't use it. I would love to have great encryption, but the only thing I've ever heard that I believe will work is Bill Binney's solution about having tons of homegrown systems. Catherine, a question for anyone to answer. Are there good repositories, directories of good farms? I've browsed around a little, but not exactly how to discern the good farms and the bads besides the term organic. Pete Kennedy suggested you try farmmatch.com, localharvest.org, and eatwild.com or realmilk.com. And I, of course, always recommend you check if you have an Edible Communities magazine in your area, and check if you've got a Weston Price group. And I think word of mouth and recommendations through the networks you find through that will really help. And someone who I've been going back and forth with on whether or not, what is COVID-19, they write, do you agree with me that the real GDP per capita in the U.S. fell from 68 to 2018? Do the math and see what you think. Absolutely. Absolutely, it fell. What was happening was it was being shrunk in ways that would allow the leadership to command a much bigger piece of the global GDP. We disagree about the COVID mortality numbers. Truth will express itself over the next 2 years. SARS-CoV-2 will be endemic like influenza then with a low case fatality rate. Do you see the excess deaths from dementia, CV disease, and hypertension? COVID did not kill those people. The politicians killed them, including Trump with his national emergency order. I agree, totally. The excess cancer deaths will peak in 2022 from colon and breast cancers that were diagnosed too late because of the shutdown of medical care. Late cancer diagnosis takes a couple of years to kill people. Unlike SARS-CoV-2, hepatitis HCV kills 36% of the people who do not get cured. SARS-CoV-2 is a military bioweapon launched by the globalist bankers and the communist Chinese. They are injuring another American generation by keeping children out of school and maiming them with masks and psychological warfare. Their parents have been damaged by the CIA Clinton Bush-directed opioid epidemic and their grandparents by attacks on the family and the churches. This is a very long war, and most Americans do not even know that they are in danger. So I agree with everything this gentleman is saying, but the bioweapon. I'm not sure what is causing the sickness. I think it's unlikely that it's a virus. You know, I think we have one or more pathogens that are at work and that can be combined with EMF or, you know, other forms of poisoning, whether it's the spraying or vaccines. I think this is pretty a complex cocktail, but I agree with Rappaport that a bioweapon is hard to control, and these guys want something that they can target and really control. And maybe that's, I just think it's very unlikely that it's a virus, but I have no doubt that we're dealing with something that's very engineered and dangerous pathogens. And so that's one of the reasons that we have to be careful. Obviously, all of this is an unanswered question, and it's one I really want to dive into with Farrell during News Trends and Stories, part one and part two, actually. Local gatherings, no questions on those this week. Lots of training going on. Recommended links, we have a couple that I've put into the notes. I would say there's been extraordinary interest in the battle going on over the White House, and I would just ask you to remember that whatever happens, it's essential that the Republicans hold the Senate. It's a very different world if it's a Democratic-controlled Senate than if it's a Republican. And so if you care about the Second Amendment or whether or not the IMF has $3 trillion of SDRs to buy everybody into the gates, you really care about the Georgia election. But most important, you care about what's going on locally. Either way, whoever gets in the White House and whoever gets into the Senate, we're in for very radical reengineering next year throughout the G7 nations, both Europe and the United States. So please, I'm not saying don't support Sidney Powell, but I'm saying you need to focus on the, you know, your physical reality and resiliency. No questions in shadow work this week, then in take action. A long question on common law and in courts. Very interesting. So the common law issues here are fascinating throughout the Commonwealth and the United States. This question is from somebody in Canada, and I really appreciate your interest, and I look forward to hearing more. I'd like to know a lot more about this area, so I appreciate that. Then somebody had written in, every restaurant, every bar, every small business will stop living in fear of your baseless attacks with astronomical illegal fines. This is not just for us. This is for everybody. I might lose my establishment, but I'm not backing down. This is a tavern in New York that refused to close down that got posted in subscriber input, and then somebody was responding to it, and they said, how can we actively wake people up to where these guys are demonstrating is within reach? How can we communicate what's at stake if they wait? How do we help it leap business to business? These guys are what's needed, and the thought of what is wasted if they die out alone is too costly to ignore. I totally agree. So that's why we keep supporting their crowdfund. So let me give you a list of 14 things you can do. One, support their message. You know, spread it around. Two, support their crowdfunds. Even if you can only give a dollar, go give a dollar. Every person who gives, you know, if 5,000 people give a dollar each, then people who can afford to give more see that, and then they jump on board. So even if you can only give a dollar, do it. It's momentum. Show up at their establishment, support their takeout businesses. I am very concerned that the targeting of the restaurants is part of the effort to control the food supply, because the small restaurants and the independently owned restaurants provide a huge source of income to keep local food and local fresh food going. So support their establishments, whether it's their takeout or their other businesses, or just, again, just donate. One restaurant in New York, one bar in New York, was giving liquor away for free, so people were having a drink and then leaving a $100 tip. That is absolutely the way to get these guys. You know, donations up to $13,000 are not taxable. So it's a great way to deal with it. Bank local. It's your great local banks who are going to support the local business. Switch as many of your food purchases to local. And you have to do that, because I'm telling you, the corporate food system is not safe. So do everything possible to build local food production, whether it's gardens, whether it's farms, whether it's farmers markets, any kind of systems. Hire only high integrity people you know and trust, and use every dime to support what you want in the world as opposed to what you don't want. Find your neighbors who understand the economic warfare aspects and start looking for leaders you can support locally. Just, you know, identify three people in your area who really make a huge difference and just say to them, how can I help? Just commit a couple hours a week to just help them do whatever they're trying to do. Get to know your sheriff and local law enforcement and work with them to ease up on the enforcement of victimless crimes such as fines and penalties. So a lot can be done with local sheriff and local enforcement. Learn how your local financial Oh, and I should just say there was an effort in King County to try and get the sheriff position from an elected position to an appointed position. If that happens in your county, get out. Get out. Just get out. Just get out. Please get out. It's not safe. Learn how your local financial ecosystem works, municipal budgets, state budgets. Get on top of the money and find out where there is leverage in the financial intelligence. It's there, but you have to get literate, and it takes time. It's a learning journey. Start with a Salieri report on unpacking your financial ecosystem. What you're looking for is political leverage. And if they're managing the money illegally and there are dirty things going on the money, that's how you get leverage. And I'll tell you, if you look at what's going on federally, it's a no-brainer in most states and local government. You can find them offsides on the money. So you need political leverage. Go find it in the money. Then switch state and local government purchases to local businesses. If the entire school system in a state has to buy local, you're talking about a big switch in money. Team up with local businesses and schools to create opportunities for young people locally. The biggest economic drain is all the smart kids leave. I just described a great farmer in Colorado. The kids are leaving and going to work for the tapeworm. Okay, well, you know, if you spend a fortune to raise and educate your kids and invest your love and attention, and then your kids go help make your enemy stronger so that your enemy can come in and destroy you, that's a big drain. Consider a tax escrow for federal taxes. It's something I'll talk a lot about more next year. But the reality is the federal government is using your taxes in ways which are illegal and outside the law, and the time has come when citizens have to do the equivalent of a citizen's financial arrest. Form local investment clubs and angel networks to circulate local equity. If you can create local equity opportunities, because the disaster capital guys are coming in and creating lots of local equity opportunities. That's what that's all about. They want it. So, you know, why shouldn't you get in on the game? 14, start a community currency or use your gold and silver coins to transact so long as there are no local taxes applied. Okay, those are 14 ideas. Everybody's different. Do what gives you energy. We're going to talk a lot about take action in the first quarter next year, but everything counts. Everything you do counts. Think little, because it's thousands of little things and thousands of people doing thousands of little things that really makes a difference. I had a friend who ran for governor in Tennessee on the Green Party ticket, and he used to say, you think a snowflake is powerless until you realize enough of them get together and they can shut down New York City. Okay, so that's it for Ask Catherine, December 3rd. It's the Christmas season again, so check out the ideas for gifts, lavish and budget. The whole spectrum is there. Every week we're going to have Christmas music. We recommend great Christmas movies, the movie this week is a wonderful BBC movie on how Charles Dickens came to write A Christmas Carol. Something you can enjoy, the whole family can enjoy. The notes for Ask Catherine and the links will be in the Money and Markets commentary for this week. Again, thank you for your questions. Send your questions to askcatherine@solari.com or post them at subscriber input. And on to Money and Markets.